This is tape number 0402 by Rick Ryan with a message titled, Forgive Us Our Debts as We Forgive.
Okay. Great to be with you this morning. Open up your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to be reading what is commonly called the Lord's Prayer, probably better called the Disciples' Prayer, focusing in this morning on verses 14 and 15. Matthew 6, verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Lord Jesus, this morning we've come here to hear from you. And Lord, we realize that it's by your word that we are changed. Our minds are renewed. Our hearts are softened. We build up the new creation that we are in Christ, and we put down the old man. And so, Jesus, come teach us today. Holy Spirit, open up our eyes, our ears, our hearts. Not just to receive the word of God, but to also be doers of your word. Oh, Jesus, I pray that this concept would go deep into our hearts today and that it would bear much fruit to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in this passage of Scripture, you have the most complete teaching on prayer that you will find any place in the Bible. 6 petitions in all. 3 that deal with God's glory, and 3 that deal with man's need. All very important petitions that should be a part of our daily prayer life. But what Jesus does in verses 14 and 15 is to amplify one of these petitions. He takes one of them and he gives us a commentary on it. And that is the second petition in part 2. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. There can be no doubt that there is something that God wants to speak to us in this verse this morning. Now, the part of this petition that Jesus decides to expand is the last part. As we forgive our debtors. Jesus knows us pretty well, doesn't he? He knows that this is an aspect of our prayer lives that we struggle with. We have a problem in this area. And so watch how he expands it. He says, for if you forgive men of their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Now, this is what is called a conditional promise. If we do our part, God will do his part. Our part is to forgive others. God's part is then to forgive us. If we do our part, God does his. But if we don't forgive others, then God can't do his part. His action is dependent upon our action. What God calls us to do is to forgive. And when we do that, he will then in turn forgive us. Now let me show you how this concept of forgiveness is taught in other parts of the Bible. And you'll see as we go through this that this concept is even expanded. Plus, I also want you to see that this isn't just a one-time teaching of Jesus. This is a spiritual concept that is taught all throughout the Bible. In Mark chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus says, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone. Do you see the scope of that? So that your Father who is in heaven may forgive you of your transgressions. We find the same concept when Jesus says that when you bring a sacrifice before the altar, As you stand there, if you realize you have something against a brother or a sister, set your sacrifice there, leave it. And go and first make amends with your brother. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, Paul says, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you forgive. Then in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, Paul again says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Now what starts to emerge in these last two verses is this concept that God wants us to forgive just like He's forgiven us. To the same extent, in the same manner, God wants us to forgive as Jesus has forgiven. You see, it's not that God forgives as He forgives and then we forgive to the extent that we can. No, what Jesus is saying is that He wants us to forgive just exactly as He has forgiven us. And what I'd like to do this morning is think about how God has forgiven us. And then match our forgiveness up against that. And see if we're forgiving in the same manner. Because if we're not, we're missing out on one of the most powerful things that we as Christians can do. And that is to forgive those that have sinned against us. Plus, we're missing one of the greatest privileges that we have as believers. And that is the forgiveness that God extends to us in His Son, Jesus Christ. So let's look at the great example of how God has forgiven us. The first thing that we know about God's forgiveness is that His forgiveness is absolutely complete. It is total forgiveness. As you stand before God this morning, you are totally forgiven in Him. Listen to Psalms 103, verses 10 through 12. It says, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Isn't that good news? You see, when God forgives, He buries the hatchet and He doesn't leave the handle sticking up to come back and use those sins against us again. He's not like the man that was telling his friend about an argument that he had with his wife. And he said, I hate it when my wife gets historical. And his friend said, no, you mean hysterical. He said, no, historical. Every time she brings up the past and she holds it against me. And our forgiveness oftentimes is like that, isn't it? We'll forgive for the time being, but if it's ever convenient to drag those sins back up again, we don't hesitate to do that. But that's not forgiving the way that Jesus forgives. He takes our sins away as far as the east is from the west. And He will never hold our sins against us again. Not only does He completely forgive our sins, but He also forgets our sin. Isaiah 43:25, I, even I, am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my name's sake, and I will remember your sins no more. You see, God has made a decision for His name's sake not to mention, not to bring to mind your sins ever again. See, that's what it means to forgive and forget. You hear this term used a lot, but this is what it means. It means to make a decision not to bring those sins to mind, not to bring those sins up. And people, it is a decision that we have to make. A friend of Clara Barton, founder of the American Red Cross, once reminded her of a really cruel thing that someone had done to her in the past. But Miss Barton didn't seem to remember. And her friend said, you've got to remember this. And Clara Barton said, I distinctly remember forgetting it. If we are to forgive like Jesus has forgiven us, we need to make a decision to forgive and then forget. We need to make a decision to distinctly remember forgetting it. Next, Jesus forgives our sin quickly and without hesitation. He never withholds forgiveness when sins are confessed rightly. But if there's one thing that characterizes our forgiveness, sometimes it's so slow. We're so slow to forgive. We have so many conditions that go along with our forgiveness. We want to make sure that the person is really sorry. We want to make sure they'll never do it again. We want to make sure they know how bad they've hurt us. We want to make sure they're doing all that they can to right the situation. In other words, we want to make sure that person is paying the price for their sin. And when we've determined that they've paid the proper amount, then and only then will we forgive. But that's not the way that God forgives at all. God forgives us out of His mercy and out of His grace. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. In fact, if that was the criteria for forgiveness, none of us would ever be forgiven. And yet we want people to earn our forgiveness. Now, we're to forgive others quickly and without hesitation, because God in His grace and His mercy has forgiven us quickly and without hesitation. Now, God also forgives without reservation. See, there's no sin too large for God's forgiveness. There's no sin too small. Now, make no mistake, there are sins that God hates more than others because He knows the consequences of that sin in our lives. And you'll find those listed in Proverbs 6. Yet still, God's forgiveness covers every sin. And the way to forgiveness is the same for every sin. The Word of God very clearly spells that out. But for us, some sins seem to be unforgivable. And there's no doubt that some sins have a greater effect in our lives. And God knows those sins are harder for us to forgive. Oftentimes there's much hurt, there's much pain that has occurred, and it's hard to forgive. And yet if we're going to forgive like God forgives, we've got to forgive without reservation. And by the power of God's Spirit in us, we can do that. You'll find that you have the capacity by the Spirit to forgive even the greatest sin done against you. But still, I don't know how many times I've seen relationships ruined because a sin is committed that one or the other refuses to forgive. There are parents and children that will have nothing to do with one another. There are husbands and wives whose oneness has gone out of their marriage. There are families that are totally broken apart, all because of a sin that's too big, too hurtful, too horrible to forgive. There are Christians this morning that are not with us, not in fellowship, not in church, because they've come across sins too big, or perhaps they've committed sins that people in the body of Christ have deemed too big to forgive them of. You see, God forgives without reservation. Nothing too big, too small. God also forgives us over and over again. There's no limit to how often God will forgive us. And that's good news, because you know what? If there was a limit, all of us would be over it. But He has no limit. And again, here's an area that we struggle with all the time. We think if we forgive someone once, I mean really forgive them, that is being gracious. And we don't expect to have to forgive them again. And if we do, it's just proof to us that we shouldn't have to forgive them, because they'll just keep committing the sin over and over again. But let me ask you, is that how God deals with you? Does God put that burden on you? The answer is no. He never does. So why put that burden on others? You see, God asks us to forgive people how many times? It's hard to say, isn't it? Yeah, 7 times 70. But some of us have kept count. Some of us can multiply. And there are people in your life that have gone over your limit, and you won't forgive them. But what God wants to do this morning is to eliminate even the concept of a limit in your mind, if you want to forgive like God forgives. Now, here's one that I really like. When God forgives, He does not stay angry about our sin, but He delights to show mercy. Listen to Micah 7:18. Who is a God like you who pardons iniquity and passes over the rebellious acts of the remnant of His possession? He does not retain His anger forever, but He delights in unchanging love. And yet how many times have we said, well, I'll forgive you, but I don't like it. And what we're saying is, I'll forgive you, but I'm going to stay mad about this sin. And you're going to bear the wrath of my anger for this, but you're forgiven. But you see, God doesn't stay angry about our sin. And He delights in showing mercy. Now, I want to give you one last example this morning, and there are many more I could give you. And I would hope that as you go through the Word of God, that as you see how God forgives you, you would note those down and let them be examples of your forgiveness. But let me give you one more. When God forgives us, He forgives us without cost to us. God's forgiveness this morning is an absolutely free gift. But it's a free gift to us because it costs God a lot, didn't it? You see, He can give the gift of forgiveness because He gave His only begotten Son. We're to offer our forgiveness to others without cost as well. Whether it be an emotional price that we would have them pay or a physical price, our forgiveness should be free. See, a lot of people won't even come and ask us for forgiveness because they know that the price is too high. The burden that we would put on them for forgiveness is more than they can bear. So confession and forgiveness to them is out of the question. But this is out of line with God's forgiveness. God's forgiveness is a free gift. And so should ours be. Now, the flip side of this coin is that giving forgiveness may be very costly for us. It might cause us to have to endure things or to put up with things or to face up to things in our own lives that aren't very pleasant. Sometimes we have to forgive knowing that great harm or hurt has been done to us, and that isn't easy. But people, the rewards are so great. There is never a time that you are more like your Father in heaven than when you forgive as He forgives. And we talk about this all the time. We sing about it. God, make me like you. Jesus, conform me into your image. But if you're really serious about it, this is where it starts. And people, the power that is in this. You talk about the power of God unleashed in your life. You start to forgive like He forgives. That's the power of God at work in you. Now watch what happens if we don't forgive. The first thing that happens is we become hard-hearted, as opposed to being tender-hearted, as we read in Ephesians 4:32. You see, unforgiveness makes us calloused. It hardens us towards people. It drives people away from us. And that's the exact opposite of what God wants. God wants people drawn to your life, not driven away. Secondly, if we won't forgive, we will stay unforgiven. We carry around the shame and the guilt of our sin. And of course, that takes us further and further away from God. Next, if we don't forgive, we come under the discipline of God. Listen to James 2:13. He says, judgment will be merciless to him who has shown no mercy. But mercy overcomes judgment. I'm sure that you remember the parable of the forgiven servant in Matthew chapter 18. Here was a servant that owed 10,000 talents to his master, and his master brought him before him to pay up, and he had no ability to pay. And so the master said, sell him, sell his wife, sell his children, sell all that he owes, so the debt can be paid off. And when the servant heard this, he threw himself before his master. He said, Master, have mercy on me. Have patience with me. Give me time, I'll repay. And it says that his master had mercy and compassion on him. And he sent him away and he forgave him his debt. But when the slave left his master's presence, he went right out to a fellow slave who owed him just 100 denarii, just a fraction of what he'd just been forgiven. And it says he grabbed that slave by the throat and choking him, he said, pay me what you owe. And again, this slave said, have mercy, have patience, give me time to repay. But he wouldn't do it. He threw him in jail until the debt was paid. Now, when the master heard about this, he called that slave back in. And he said, you wicked servant, I showed you mercy, and you should have showed mercy to others, but you didn't. Send him to the torturers until his debt be paid in full. Now, Jesus ends this parable by saying, and so shall my heavenly Father do to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from the heart. We refuse to forgive. We come under the discipline of God. And people, the last place you want to be is under the discipline of God. The next thing that happens is that bitterness, anger, resentment, hatred builds up inside of us. And if you let these things stew inside of you, people, they will destroy you. They'll kill you, literally. And you know that to be true. Another thing that will happen if you don't forgive is that it gives the devil access to your life. You see, the enemy is always looking for ways to get his hooks into you. And this is one of the ways he does it. Unforgiveness. But if you forgive, you throw the hooks of the enemy out of your life and you slam the door in his face. The last thing that happens is that unforgiveness in our lives destroys our witness. I talked to a young woman one time who worked for a Christian man, and she told me, I just can't believe that God would forgive me. And I said, why? Why can't you believe this? She says, because I work for a Christian man and he never forgives me. He holds everything against me. And if God's people can't forgive, how could God forgive? Good question, isn't it? See, one of the greatest witnesses you have is your ability to forgive. And when you don't forgive, your witness goes right out the window. The result of unforgiveness in our lives is devastating. It will destroy you. It will destroy people around you. It will destroy your marriage. It will destroy your family. It will destroy the church. See, and that's why God is adamant about this. And that's why God isn't going to let you off the hook. He wants you to learn how to forgive like He forgives. Listen to 1 Peter 3:8. Peter says, to sum up, let all be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you have been called for this very purpose, to inherit a blessing. You see, people, as believers in Christ, we've been called to the ministry of forgiveness. As an ambassador of Jesus Christ, He sends you into the world with this most incredibly powerful tool and a ministry to forgive. Oh, use those tools of love and forgiveness that God has given you. Let the power of God be released in your life, in the life of your family, in the life of this church. Proverbs 19:11 says, the glory of man is to overlook a transgression. Oh, people, walk in the fullness of that glory today. Jesus, we thank you for your word this morning. God, it goes right to our hearts. And Jesus, we want to be like you. We want to be changed. And Lord, we know that it just rings in our ears. Father, we're never more like you than when we forgive. People see you so clearly in us when we forgive. Your power is released in us when we forgive. But God, you know what holds us back. It's our pride. It's our stubbornness. It's the hurt. It's the pain. It's the flesh, Lord. But Father, I pray this morning that by your Spirit you'd soften our hearts. You'd break down the pride in us. And God, you'd let us see how important this is to you, that we would be, as your ambassadors, those that carry out the ministry of forgiveness. And Father, I would pray that if forgiveness needs to flow here this morning, that it would flow. That if forgiveness needs to flow in marriages, oh God, let forgiveness flow there. If forgiveness needs to flow in families this morning between parents and children, oh God, let forgiveness flow. God, if forgiveness needs to flow between members of the body of Christ right here, oh God, let forgiveness flow this morning. Let your power be released in this, God. God, we pray for revival. We want revival. Father, we know it starts right here. To be men and women after your own heart. Father, you have a heart of forgiveness. Father, we also know this morning that you do forgive us without reservation. You forgive us completely. You take our sins and you cast them in the deepest sea. You remember them no more. And I would pray for anyone this morning that feels like they're bound up in a sin that's too big that they can't break out of. Oh, Jesus, show them that by the blood of Jesus Christ, the chains of sin can be snapped in their lives. God, let forgiveness flow here even as we forgive. Set us free from the sin that so easily entangles us. Oh, Jesus, we want to walk today in the freedom of your forgiveness. Even cleansed from the guilt of our sin. Oh, God, minister that to us today. Thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from every sin. And now, God, as we've been forgiven, let us now go and forgive others to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? You're ambassadors of Jesus Christ. You're called by His name. You've been called to a ministry of forgiveness. One of the most powerful tools you've been given, the ability to love and the ability to forgive. As you use those, the enemy will flee before you, and the captives will be set free. Oh, you walk in that power today, in Jesus' name.
This is the end of Side 2, and the end of this message. If you'd like further information on books or tapes, or a free catalog, please contact Chapel Tapes. Our address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Thank you and God bless you.